I was called this morning that I supposed to speak at this very moment. And I felt everything was working together for good instead of depending upon what I have prepared and depending upon God only. And during my past years, I must confess that I have failed, although I preached the word of God, but I preached. Now, in recent years, I felt it is necessary not to preach the word of God, let God speak himself through me. Now, this morning, the message is on the vision, the heavenly vision. Solomon said in Proverbs 29:8, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's in the English translation. In our Chinese translation, there is a different idea. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. We can compare two people, the great leader of Israel, Moses, and the other one, the brother of Moses, Aaron. Moses caught the vision, but Aaron caught no vision. And after he made the molded calf, and the Bible said, the people drink, eat, and even play. The people cast off restraint, and they dealt not the things of God. Now may I have the privilege in the presence of God to read my paper first, and then the rest of time, by the leading of the Lord, may I add something more. Many people have looked upon the Acts of the Apostle as the fifth gospel. Others have called it the gospel of the Holy Spirit. The four gospels are the record of the acts of the incarnate Christ on earth, while the Acts of the Apostles is a record of the acts of the risen Christ through the Holy Spirit in the apostles. Therefore, it has also been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. From beginning to end, this book is an account of the Spirit's work. All who study God's Word would agree that the divine acts have not ended or been completed, for the work of the Holy Spirit has continued to this very day. The Lord said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. To remind us that since the rebellion of Satan and the fall of man, God has not ceased to work, nor has the Lord. When we look into the book of Acts, we seem to see what Peter and Paul accomplished, humanly speaking. It was the acts of Peter and Paul. But God's plan could never be achieved by Peter and Paul alone. Who can say that God has not been working for 2,000 years after Acts 28? The book of the Acts is an unfinished book. And the Holy Spirit is still recording the work until today. According to Luke, the beloved physician, the book of Acts was a continuation of the theme in his gospel, or that Jesus began both to do and teach after his ascension. Further, the disciples' most important duty was to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit and by revelation to be shown the proper sequence of their work. In Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Church history shows that for the past 2,000 years, God's hand has raised faithful witnesses in Him in every place, thus continuing His divine acts through the Holy Spirit. Among them were Martin Luther, Hudson Taylor, D.L. Moody, A.B. Simpson, John Wesley, William Carey, Davis Livingstone, and many others. Other names are yet to be added during the past 2,000 years. Although the closing chapter of time is ever nearer at hand, have we perhaps deeds worthy of being recorded? Now first we are to be men sent of God. Judas lost his apostleship because he betrayed his master. And by the casting of lots, he was replaced by Matthias. But what witness of Christ's resurrection did Matthias give? Is there any record? The difference between being chosen by human instrumentality and being chosen of God becomes very clear. Matthias' name was chosen by Peter, but Paul was chosen of God. We need Paul today. One Paul is far better than thousands of Matthias. Do we lack workers in our churches today? Yes, indeed. But among the workers, there are too many men appointed, as I just mentioned, Matthias, and too few God-chosen Pauls. This explains why our work does not progress. Humanly raised shepherds cannot work with God because they are not chosen of God. May we ever seek His will in order to be men truly sent of God. Second, do not tarry at Jerusalem. The church was born at Pentecost through the mighty workings of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people and on another occasion, 5,000 came to believe on the Lord through Peter's sermon. Christians were not only born of the Spirit, they were also filled with the Spirit, gladly selling their possessions and bringing the money to the apostle. They made the early church at Jerusalem a big as well as a wealthy church. As the word of God prospered in great triumph, the church at Jerusalem needed a shepherd like Peter. But by tarrying at Jerusalem, the apostle became content with their situation. It seemed they had almost forgotten the Lord's last command. Therefore he allowed Stephen's martyrdom and Saul's persecutions in order to haste the church's witness elsewhere. After these happenings, in fact, the church scattered abroad to Judea and Samaria and to other places to preach the word. That is recorded in the book of the Acts 8:1-4. This was also true of the church in China. At first, our Christian churches were found mostly in the big cities along the Chinese eastern shores. and were reluctant to set foot in the interior areas. Then God raised up a man that we are respect of, Hudson Taylor, to begin the work of the China Inland Mission. If you pardon me to say something here, unfortunately, while Hudson Taylor himself tried to conform to Chinese habit and culture by wearing a Mandarin gown, for example, and by living in every way like a Chinese. But other missionaries found it hard to follow his fine spirit and pattern, and progress of the work was limited. Then the Lord permitted, that's our sad experience again, the Sino-Japanese War, which made Christians on the eastern shores evacuate to the interior. And as a result, the gospel was proclaimed far and wide, knowing that there were yet other unfulfilled obligations. The Lord allowed the Red Seizure of China, which pushed us overseas. That is our recent experiences during the past 16 years. If there's sufficient time for me, I'm going to say something in my heart about the situation behind the curtain. When Shanghai was our Jerusalem, and then we stretch out to Nanking, Suzhou, Hangzhou, and other places, and we counted that was our Judea. And then Hong Kong, Southeast Asia, our Samaria. Today, even if we had spread the gospel throughout Southeast Asia, I, as a Chinese minister, in our Chinese background, that's why I'm mentioning about Southeast Asia as our Samaria, we still would have fallen short of the Lord's trust and commission to bear witness to Him unto the uttermost part of the earth. For the debt we owe, may God have mercy upon us and send forth single-hearted men and women as missionaries to all countries of the world to be His witnesses and to be faithful of the glorious record of Great Commission. May I add something more here? The Church of China has a history of 160 years. We thank God for sending the first pioneer missionary, Morrison, to China. And during the past 160 years, God sent missionaries from the West. We are grateful to God how we were trained to be Christian leaders, medical doctors, and also by the preaching of the gospel through the missionaries. We have the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there was a loss. A loss to the Church of China. We overlook Acts 1:8. I'm sorry to tell you, it's a sad thing that the Church of China caught no vision. The vision of the world evangelization. When I mentioned the word missionary, many of our Chinese people could not understand. When I mentioned a missionary convention, they would ask me, what is that? We lost the blessing. We receive all the time and gave nothing, just like the Dead Sea. Therefore, for many years, I encourage our Chinese people to give as much as possible, and not only that, to send out Chinese missionaries to all parts of the world. It's another sad thing to tell our fellow workers that we lost the blessing because we are dependent upon others more than God. And many times if there was a need, instead of looking to the living God, we looked to America. And then I told the Chinese Christians, it's a sin. Put a country in the place of God. It's the same God that we should trust, and He will provide everything for us. Now the third point, we are to preach to the Gentiles abroad. The first half of the Acts of the Apostle gives detailed descriptions of Peter's work. But the second half of the book does not mention him even once. This does not mean that Peter retired from service, but that what he did was no longer necessary to narrate. In his place, Paul takes over. Paul, obedient to the last command of the Lord and called the apostle to the Gentiles, while Peter was the first to have the key to them to preaching to the heathen. He was too prejudiced to regard them worthy of and included in the plan of salvation. In chapter 10 of the Acts, God in a vision reminded him that no one should be regarded as common or unclean. In the sight of God, all are clean and precious, every precious soul. In the sight of God, yet Peter before Cornelius, the Italian and his kinsfolk spoke words that he ought never to be uttered. And how he said, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. Christian workers can so easily become conceited, can so easily say what hurts rather than edifies. Although Peter was sent forth, he did not continue to make the best of his obligations. Perhaps he thought himself a big, specialized, independent apostle who should go only to the circumcised and should give Paul the opportunity to go to the Gentiles. This is recorded in Galatians 2:9. May I add a few words here? If I was Peter, I'd rather stay in Jerusalem and such a big church and a wealthy church, unwilling to leave that place. But it is more important to the last commission of God. Now may I continue here. From then on, Peter was laid aside as if what he did thereafter was of no importance to record, although the Spirit of God inspired his writings of the Petrine epistles. But in one of the epistles of Peter, we would find that in his latter days, he went to Arabia and to preach the gospel. And that was something good for him in his old age, obeying to the commandment, the last commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the fourth point, we are not to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. King Solomon said, as I have mentioned just a while ago, where there is no vision, the people perish. What Paul saw in the vision on the Damascus Road caused him to be greatly used of God in his later years. Wherever he went, whether in Asia or in Europe, God used him to establish churches. Paul suffered a great deal for the work of the Lord. He himself that he labored more abundantly than all the other apostles. There was no exaggeration, and there was why he could testify before King Agrippa. And he said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. From this we learn that to work for God, we must not only have a vision, but we must also be obedient thereto. Paul's work reveals the secret of his success. He lived his life according to the heavenly vision and was obedient to the eternal will of God. Now we must follow Paul's way. When someone expressed the need for sending men to preach the gospel to our overseas Chinese in different countries, I could not sigh. Why, like Peter, must we always witness among our own people? Why can we not, like Paul, proclaim the truth to other nations as well? Paul had nothing against his own kinsmen. In fact, he said of them, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And she said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Yet again and again he made it plain that he looked upon the Jew and the Gentiles alike. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that called upon him. Several times, Paul determined to go to Rome because he considered Rome the uttermost part of the parish. He had to reach Rome before he could count himself as having fulfilled his mission to witness for the Lord unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now we must take up the mission to go far beyond. Many churches in our day have known the clear command of the risen Christ and have heard the Macedonian call from every quarter of the world. However, they have remained unmoved in heart. They have taken no action. They have never considered the whole world their parish, where mostly, I would say, in some of the countries or the churches of the countries in Asia. We need the vision. How shall we be revived? Why not follow Paul's example and go afar with our mission? Why do we take only Peter's first step? Why are we unwilling to take the second, the third, and even the fourth step? At first glance, most churches seem to be prospering. Closer examination, however, often reveals a prevalent coolness of heart to be exact how many souls are really being saved. The good shepherd was willing to leave his 99, which was safe and sound, to seek out the mountains for the one lost sheep. What about our churches today in China? As long as there are sheep in the fold, we say, why should we care about the many outside? We smugly settle down to what we think is the work of a shepherd. Would that before the Lord's second coming, the whole church of Christ will step into God's plan, would have a part in filling up the records of the book of Acts, bearing witness of his resurrection, not only to certain native people, but also to other nationalities as well. If we do this, we will be following Paul's pattern, who earnestly sought to do Christ's will, that he might finish his course with joy and the ministry which he had received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. Dear fellow workers, which way will we choose, Peter's or Paul's? In this modern world where travel is no problem, may we have a heavenly vision like that of Paul, while it is day, may we follow his example. Now I have still a few more minutes to add, if you permit me to say something more. China has a population, we would say one quarter of the world's population. If one Chinese preached to the other three souls, then it will be evangelized. Behind the curtain today, it is my request, your fellow workers, to pray. And I think all of you know there are 700 millions of our people. Yes, humanly speaking, it's quite dark of the situation. Humanly speaking, it may be hopeless. But we have the living God and the Almighty God. One day I was preaching to a group, mentioning about Peter in prison. Although the church was praying for Peter, but very little faith. They pray for whole night. And it was the power of God to break the iron bar. And Peter was free. Yes, whether it's a bamboo curtain or an iron curtain or any kind of curtain, if we look unto God, he is able and almighty. If you permit me to say this very familiar verse, God so loved the world. We cannot change it. God so loved 3/4 of the world. The 700 millions of our people behind the curtain, they are all loved by the God, by the Lord. Now, as I have just mentioned, the Church of China caught no vision. We send no missionaries to any parts of the world. And because without the vision, the heavenly vision, I like to mention again about the words of Solomon in the book of the Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish, in English translation. Yes, our people are perishing. It's not on the physical point of view. No one in China, or maybe very few of them, they have the privilege on Sunday morning to attend Sunday services. What I mean is behind the curtain today. Only the old people. And they have some opportunity to hear the word of God in those churches. But recently you have read in the paper that all the Bibles and hymns, hymn books were burnt. Our people are perishing. And practically, very few nationalist Christian leaders in China behind the curtain are able to preach the word of God. And no missionary, not one, in China today. And I myself, I'm outside of my own country. And you may ask me, what was the reason? By the permission of God, God allowed all the missionaries and we Chinese national leaders to be driven out. I must confess, with great shame, the reason was because of our unfaithfulness. For the past 160 years, we were unfaithful to the Lord's holy ministry. But it is my prayer, and we need your prayers too, that God is going to give us the second and the last opportunity. There's a book in the Bible, the book of Jonah. The message of the book of Jonah was the second chance. We are looking for the second chance. We are looking for the final chance before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe, not very long, the Almighty God is going to open and to break the curtain. But the thing is, we are not ready. How to reach the 700 million? We are not ready. It's a real shame. It is my prayer that God may raise the overseas Chinese outside of mainland China, that they may be called by God with thousands and tens of thousands and millions to be ready, and then when the door opens again, that we may tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus, that they might be saved. Now to the last, may I conclude with this. The book of the Acts is the only book among the 66, the unfinished book. May I repeat once more, the book of Acts, humanly speaking, it was the Acts of the Lord's ministry by Peter and Paul. But the Holy Spirit is still calling people for himself, to preach the gospel throughout the world. And we are all going to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at its just judgment seat one day. And now is our time. And many of you have written books, and I think you have the experience when you begin a book, put something precious and interesting right in the beginning. Just like the book of the Acts, when we read about the second chapter of the day of the Pentecost, 3,000 came to the Lord by the sermon of Peter. It was so interesting. Now we are coming to the end of the book. We are coming to the end of the book of the Acts. And I think all of us want to have a part in it, a record by the Holy Spirit, like Paul, not like Matthias. And it depends upon this heavenly vision of the world's evangelization as we come together for this World Congress, that God may give us not only the heavenly vision, that may widen our new vision. There are still many who are unreached and have not one opportunity to hear the gospel. Now, permit me to say something to my very conclusion. You may not agree with me, but just for your reference, when we come to the book of Revelation, there will be a real revival, not among the Gentiles, but also among the Israelites. And God is going to raise 144,000, which is recorded in the 7th chapter of Revelation. And they are going to preach the gospel, which is recorded in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. We are preaching the gospel of grace, the same gospel preached by Paul. But the 144,000 devoted Christians of Israel, after they are revived, they are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven throughout the world. It's something marvelous to me that the preaching of the gospel began by the Jews first and ends up by the Jews. And we are in the middle. During the past 2,000 years, and the time is so near, may we, every one of us, to be faithful to the last commission of the world, the last commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, and also bring the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ before he returns again. Amen.